Does the coronavirus mean we're living in the end of time?
I'm a Christian, but I'm still afraid. Does that mean I don't have enough faith?
If you have a Bible question about what's going on right now, you want to stay tuned for this special edition of Bible Help Desk from home. I'm Rubén Covarrubias.
And I'm Kenya Reyes. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. This is a special coronavirus edition from home. We are social distancing so that we can bring you our program from our houses.
Yes, we are. And Ruben, we have lots of questions coming in asking for Bible guidance on this current situation. And I think we are all a bit anxious and in need of some answers. We are currently not taking live calls, but you can still leave us a voicemail or send in your questions via text, Facebook, Instagram, and also through our website, hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk, and leave us an email so we can contact you back.
Absolutely. Well, Kenya, I'm really excited to introduce two of our great panelists that are joining us from their homes. We have Pastor Andrea Jacobson, who is a youth pastor at Spencerville Adventist Church. How are you? And we also have Dr. Chris Holland, also former pastor and currently the vice president of evangelism at Adventist World Radio. Pastor Jacobson and Dr. Holland, still thank you for joining us. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, here today we have a verse from 1 Peter 5:7, and it reads, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And I think we can all agree that right now this is such a special promise because all of us are feeling anxiety or feeling worry, frustration. Maybe we're afraid, but it's so good to know that he's promised that he will care for us if we just come to him. So let's just say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be healthy and safe, Lord. Thank you because we can come together in this way so that we can find answers straight from your word, Lord. And we want to thank you for the beautiful promises that you've left in your word. At this moment, Lord, all of us, we want to cast our anxieties, our fear, our worry. We want to cast them to you, Lord, because we know that you will care for us and that you will give us peace. Please give everyone watching peace at home, and please protect everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Kenya, we had some questions come in, and I'm excited to dive in and have our Bible experts reach out to our audience, especially during this time of uncertainty. So I'm going to dive into this first question that came in via text, and it has to do with what's going on right now. It says, "I have a question on the coronavirus. And why is God letting this happen to the whole world?" So here we have right on top of it, what is it with this coronavirus? Pastor Jacobson, what can we get from the Bible in dealing with what we're going through right now?
Well, I think the question really involves this other question of why is there evil? And, you know, why is it everywhere? Why does God allow that? Because if he's allowing coronavirus, obviously he's allowing evil. And you know, I always go back to just thinking that we would love to be able to explain evil and we'd love to have a logical explanation for it. And there really isn't one because, I mean, Satan chose evil. The Bible says he's the enemy of God who chose evil. And yet nobody understands why. I mean, I understand that or believe that God would have showed him everything, right? Everything that would happen into the future. So he would have seen it all. God is transparent God. So of course he had to show him everything. Mm-hmm. And Satan still chose it. And so that's not explainable. It doesn't really make sense that anyone would choose evil. And so because someone did choose evil, there is evil in this world. And as humans, we fell for, you know, for Satan's temptations. And so there, all of that is going on in our world right now. And, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that is just something that is happening all the time because Satan is in this world. But at the same time, Jesus says in John 16:33, and he says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so to me, that's where the hope is, because Jesus said, I am the victorious one. I'm the one who has already won the victory, even though Satan is real and he's going to try to wreak havoc in this world. And he has and will until God puts an end to it. Jesus says, I'm here. Don't worry. And just trust in the fact that I have overcome the world.
Amen. Amen. And I appreciate that Jesus and God has already had the victory. Dr. Holland, what else can we add to this worry about the coronavirus?
Well, Ruben, I first want to say I appreciate Pastor Andrea's answer on this question, because, you know, when we ask this question, sometimes in our very finite minds, we want A plus B equals C answer. You know, this happens, so therefore this. And as Pastor Andrea has aptly pointed out, there's no real answer that's going to satisfy me when I'm in the midst of a trial, when we're in the midst of coronavirus, that says, and I walk away and say, oh, okay, this is okay. But when we read the book of Job, and I would encourage the viewer, the listener, to read the book of Job, and it speaks to Ephesians 6, as Pastor Andrea quoted, of what's going on behind the scenes. And if I can just bookend that, Ruben, by simply saying, Satan asks the question of God, does Job serve you for nothing? And his whole premise is that Job serves God because God does good for him. And as soon as God withholds the good and Satan inflicts bad to him, then Job will stop serving God. And then through the entirety of Job, Job has friends that come in, and I use the word friends in quotation marks, that as these bad things happen to Job, they keep saying, this must be something that you've done. And there are people right now that are teaching that coronavirus is coming on the world for God to punish. But that's not what God wants to do. God loves, God wants to save people. And so it comes all the way to the end. In chapter 38, 39, God speaks to Job. And then Job in chapter 42 answers God. And he says, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. And then he goes on to say, I have heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself. And what is Job saying? God, you've shown me what's going on behind the scenes. And now that I see what's going behind the scenes, I acknowledge that you're good, you're great, you're sovereign. And even though I don't understand everything that's going on in my eyes that I can see, there's much more going on behind the scenes.
Amen. Amen.
I love that answer. I just want to add real quick that to me, it's also an opportunity, right? So this is not something that God is saying, okay, I'm throwing this on you because I'm punishing you, just as Chris had said. But it is an opportunity for us to realize that we are human and we need God. And that at any moment, this could be our last day, right? I mean, it is possible that, you know, some of us will not be here forever. I mean, there will be losses, you know, even during this coronavirus crisis, right? And so we just need to realize that, yes, I am human and I need God, right? I can't do things on my own. I need to be able to give everything to him, and also maybe to redo my priorities, right? I mean, this is a chance to think about what is actually important in my life.
For those answers, you know, I find solace in knowing that God has the victory and that we can trust in him even when we don't understand what's going on. Wow, that was great.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to dive into the next question. And I think this goes together so seamlessly with these worries that we might have. And it's a question that came in via text, and it says, I claim God's word for peace and not to have fear, but I'm still anxious about what's happening. Does that mean I don't have enough faith? And I think this is something that resonates with all of us. all of us that believe in God right now, just because we believe in God, does that mean we're not afraid? Dr. Holland, is there anything we can find in the Bible that will help us?
Sure. You know, it's very interesting, Kenya. There are a lot of Bible teachers that teach this idea that if we fear, we don't have faith. Well, over 50 times in the Bible, you have the phrase, do not be afraid or fear not. And it's being spoken to people who are serving God. So if God is saying this to someone who is following him, then that must mean that there are people who are of great faith that fear. And I think of two instances, and we could spend an entire show talking about this. But in Joshua 1:9, you have young Joshua, who's now going to be taking over for Moses. Moses, who has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God says to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He says, do not be afraid. He says, have I not commanded you? Be not afraid. And I think about that for myself. If I was taking over for Moses, of course I would be afraid. I mean, this is a great leader. This is the man that led them out of Egypt. Yeah. And so what does God say to Joshua? He says, he's in essence saying, when he says, do not be afraid, he says, listen, I understand you're afraid, Joshua. I understand this is intimidating. Mm-hmm. But hey, you don't need to fear me, because the end of that verse says, I will be with you wherever you go. And then I think of Moses. You'll remember the story. Moses and the children of Israel have escaped from Egypt. Mm-hmm. They have the armies of Pharaoh bearing down on them. And then they have the Red Sea on the other side. And Moses, who has received the message from God, turns to the children of Israel and he says, and sometimes we miss the humor of the Bible. He says, do not be afraid. And I think of myself, if I was standing there and Pharaoh and his armies are coming and there's water on the other side and he says, do not be afraid. But then what's the next thing he says? He says, stand still. And Reuben, you just mentioned this a moment ago, this idea of spending time with God, understanding where God is. And then he says, and see the salvation of the Lord, and he will accomplish, and what he will accomplish for you today. Mm-hmm. And so it's this whole idea that, is it normal to be afraid? Of course. Mm-hmm. And are we sinning if we're afraid? Absolutely not. But God comes and draws up next to us and says, listen, I understand you're afraid, but I'm going to walk with you during these times. I'm going to take you hand in hand. I'm going to take you by the hand, and I'm not necessarily going to pull you out of the trial. I'm not going to pull you out of the tribulation you're facing, but I'm going to hold you hand by hand, and we're going to walk through it together, because I'm going to be with you wherever you go.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's such an uplifting answer for anyone who at this moment is feeling that way, and I think it's quite a few of us. So thank you so much, Dr. Holland.
Absolutely. Well, I think we can go to question number three now. Mm-hmm. And this is another one coming from via text. And it says, in the current situation with the coronavirus, how can we live in faith without being presumptuous? So, you know, we want to live in this faith, but we also don't want to assume that everything is just going to be fine. Uh-huh. But how do you balance those two things? Dr. Holland, how do we do that?
You know, it's interesting, Reuben. There are a number of Christians that will quote passages, and it's over and over again in the gospel. It occurs more than one time. But for example, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus speaking says this to his followers: they will take up serpents, speaking of his people, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Some people take this idea, and some people have taken it to the extremes of intentionally poisoning themselves, intentionally being in the presence of venomous snakes. Is this what Jesus meant? And you use that word presumption, Reuben. That would be presumptuous, you know, to take this idea of, well, hey, Jesus said this, and now I don't need to be afraid. Or in our current situation, Jesus said these deadly plagues are not going to hurt me. I'm not going to get poisoned. So I'm not going to follow any of the recommendations. I'm just going to go out. I'm going to touch everything. I'm going to touch my face. I'm going to touch my eyes, because Jesus says I'm going to be okay. That would be a very, frankly, irresponsible way of thinking of things as a Christian. And secondly, a very presumptuous thing. Mm-hmm. Now, what do we have? Acts chapter 28, we have Paul reaching into wood to get some wood for a fire. He gets bit by a serpent. and Jesus protects him in that. That was not a presumptuous act of Paul, but rather it is a part of what he was doing, and this accident happened, and Jesus miraculously saved him. And so the bottom line is, Reuben, as Christians, we're called to be responsible, and we must follow these recommendations, because when we move forward and we know how the virus is spread, and we say, ah, but Jesus will protect me, that's not only irresponsible, it is not actually faith. It is what we would call presumption.
Absolutely.
Can I just add real quick? So I was thinking of Proverbs 14, and actually you can look all over Proverbs, and it really talks about the prudent, you know, the wise person considers their steps. In 14:15, for example, that's what it says. It's kind of all over Proverbs where it says, you know, you need to be wise. You were given a brain, and so use it, right? Do your best and then leave the rest in God. And then, I mean, just thinking of the faith part, like for me, there's two things that I do at this point when I'm dealing with the anxiety, you know, that I get that's going on. Number one, I stop listening to the news. Like, I will look at it sometimes, right? Because I need to know what's going on. And then that's it. For the rest of the day, I'm just doing my regular daily routine. I can't be sucked into it, or it will suck me into the anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to stay away from that. And then number two is something that actually my youth reminded me of. We are doing this these devotionals that on Wednesday and on Fridays. And on Friday evening, the first one that they did, two of them, they were talking about the story in Mark where Jesus and the disciples are on the boat and this huge storm comes and they're all freaking out and just bailing water, right? And Jesus is sleeping. He's just laying on the boat. And I mean, to me, it's just every single time now that I think of, you know, all that's going on, I think of that story. It's just like they kind of just jump started, you know, my faith through all of this because of what they shared with me and with all of us. Because it's so amazing that Jesus is sleeping. He's not caught off guard. He knows what's going on right now. He knew the coronavirus was coming, mm-hmm. right? He's there for us all the time. And we can trust in that. It's just amazing that how peaceful he is in that whole situation. And it just makes me think, okay, I don't need to freak out. I just need to trust in God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for those answers. Those were great. Well,
definitely. Now, going off of what Pastor Jacobson just said, we do not have to be afraid. And I know that many people have so many questions about, is Jesus coming soon? And maybe other questions. And right now is the perfect opportunity to just dive into the Word of God. And you can do that with our Discover Guide number 10, How Soon Will Jesus Return? And you can find that Discover Guide and many others if you go to hopebiblestudy.org, and we will send you one as soon as possible so you can continue studying the Word of God. Now, Reuben, we'll be back after these quick messages, so don't go away.
Absolutely.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
Welcome back. We are so excited that we have two great panelists answering our questions for Bible Help Desk today, Pastor Andrea Jacobson and Dr. Chris Holland. Well, Kenya, do we have some more questions that we can bring aboard?
Yes, we do. We have the following question that came in via text, and it reads, my question is, because of the virus, are we in the end days? I think that believers, non-believers, everyone right now is asking that question. So, Pastor Jacobson, what is something that we can find in the Word of God to give us an answer to this?
Yes, that's a great question. There are a lot of people asking this. I've actually started a Revelation series because of this, because there are so many people who have been asking this question. But I want to take us to Matthew 24. And Matthew 24 is where the disciples come to Jesus. I believe it's in verse 3. And they say, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they're asking about the last days. You know, how are we going to know that these are the last days? And then he answers them. And he says, first, he's talking about the fact there will be people who will say, I am the Christ, right? So people who are claiming to be the Messiah and really aren't, who are come again. And then when you go down to verse 7, he says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, diseases, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so, and then, you know, all throughout as he continues, there are other signs that he says will start happening. So really, disease is not something that is now saying, okay, the end times are starting right now. It is just a sign of the end times. And Jesus has said that the end times kind of start with the cross to the end. But then there are specific end times that, you know, that we're talked about, that are talked about in the Bible, mm-hmm. that are more close to the end. And I also want to go to Thessalonians. So 2 Thessalonians, Paul first writes 1 Thessalonians, and he writes it to the Thessalonian church, and he writes about the second coming. And they somehow get this idea that he's saying either that the second coming has already happened, it was somehow a spiritual second coming, or that it is happening tomorrow, right? And so then he writes 2 Thessalonians to explain this and to actually tell them that, no, that is not what he meant. And so then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there and in verse 3, he says this. He says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And then if you keep reading through this part of chapter 2, these beginning verses, it's talking about this man of sin or the lawless one who is revealed. And until then, the second coming will not occur. And so we are told that, no, Paul is saying the second coming will not be tomorrow. And you can know that because there are certain things that have not happened yet. Right? And he says this man of sin will be revealed. And ultimately, that points to Satan. But it also is a label that can be applied to any agents that Satan has used throughout history and that will continue to use towards the end. So we know from the Bible that there are things that tell us that, no, it's not happening tomorrow yet. Yes, we are in the last days, but not because of coronavirus, but because of the fact that the Bible tells us we are in the last days.
Dr. Holland, would you like to add to that?
So the question is phrased very interesting, and I would just make three very quick points. First, the answer is ultimately, no, we're not in the end because of coronavirus. This is a mistake that many people make and have this idea that God needs another earthquake, God needs another virus, God needs another disease, and then the end can come. The Bible's quite clear that the gospel needs to go to the whole earth, and then the end will come. The second point, which I think is very important, the book of Daniel actually mentions the phrase time of the end, mentions it five different times, and it's a very specific time period. And Pastor Jacobson has aptly pointed out, basically after the cross comes this end of days, but then there's a specific time of the end just preceding the second coming, which, and I know you offer your viewers Bible studies, we don't have time to go through it, but that phrase time of the end is very specific. God has a prophetic timeline. He's not surprised by any of this. He has the whole world in his hands. And the time of the end began at the conclusion of the 1260, 1290-day prophecy, which 1798 began this prophetic journey of end days. So are we in the end of days? Yes, but it's not because of the coronavirus. It's because God has a prophetic timeline, and he is sovereign over that prophetic timeline.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jacobson, for the word of God, giving us those crucial texts. And thank you to Dr. Holland for just giving us just words of reminders to keep us on track.
Absolutely. Well, we actually can get another question in here before we wrap up.
I was wondering when this coronavirus is going to end. Does the Bible give any advice for that?
So the, you know, Ruben, as you asked that question, I suppose if I knew when the coronavirus was going to end, I might be able to make a lot of money prognosticating on that.
Yes.
The Bible does not specifically tell us when coronavirus is going to end, whether it's a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. But what is its meaning for us as individuals? Matthew chapter 24 speaks of a time in the history of Judaism and in the history of the Christian church where the Bible refers to it as the abomination of desolation. We don't have time to get into that. I know the Bible studies you offer can get into this. There was a time in history where the Roman Empire came and surrounded Jerusalem. They were going to siege Jerusalem, take Jerusalem over, and then unexpectedly, they just leave. And in that time, Jesus predicted, when you see the abomination of desolation, get ready. And when they leave, it's time for you to flee Jerusalem. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not telling people to flee their home. But spiritually speaking, what is this speaking of? I believe the coronavirus, and then, by the way, later the Roman Empire does return. And in its return, besieges Jerusalem, conquers Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are killed. However, we have record from history that no Christian died in that siege because they followed the counsel of Jesus. So what then would I be, what would I draw as a spiritual analogy? I think the coronavirus is a, for lack of a better word, a shot across the bow to let us know that we are living in the end of time. And as Paul wrote, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to make a decision to follow him. And that is not for us to be afraid or to scare us into religion. It is just to point out Jesus predicted these things. We see these things being fulfilled. And that is an indication to each of us to make things right with God, spend time in his word, give our heart fully to him. And in that, we do not have to be afraid as he walks hand in hand with us through whenever the end of coronavirus is.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Holland, for that. That's super powerful and a reminder that God used these moments so that we can come back to him. Thank you so, so much.
Well, we want to thank you both, Dr. Holland and Pastor Jacobson, for joining us. We know that this was a very different setting.
Yes, indeed.
But I know for certain that it was a blessing to all of our viewers. So may God continue blessing you and keeping you safe and, of course, blessing your ministries.
Absolutely. And Kenya, I want to remind all our viewers to continue sending us those questions. We want to be able to answer those questions for you via text, Facebook, Instagram, or send us an email. So thank you so much. And also visit us, our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. And we'll be back again next week with some more shows. Stay safe. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.